Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Okay, well, this is week 8 in the Chasing After God series. I thought I'd finish, but I think I've got another one at least. God might be telling me a few more things. As I've said at the start of each message, if we want to see the power of God outworked in our community and in our lives, we must keep training, we must keep desiring and aiming for more, and to do this, we must chase after God with a renewed vigour and a renewed enthusiasm. And the scripture, it's working great. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And the other scripture that has been my text throughout the series is, but first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and the character of God, and in all these things will be given to you also. So in week 1, we looked at the need to prepare ourselves to come into the presence of the King. In week 2, we focused on dying to self. These are all notes are all available on the website. The podcasts are there as well. Week 3, it was imitating, inquiring of God. Week 4 was the ark. Week 5 was seeing God's face. Week 6 was the purpose of his presence. Week 7 was releasing the power of God into our lives. And tonight, it's being led by the Spirit. And as I studied and prepared for this, I just had so much information, so many things that I could have said and wanted to say about the Holy Spirit. But the more I got into it, the more I was being led by the Spirit. That was pretty good, wasn't it? To keep it simple and to not complicate it. And So in obedience to God, I'm doing that. Scripture says in Romans 8:14, and Mike this morning referred to it in one of his scriptures. He said, for all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I love progress. And I enjoy the benefits of change that progress has brought into our lives. Unfortunately, though, some of those advances have made us think we can be self-sufficient. And therefore, we don't need to rely or inquire on God as much as we should. Think about the smartphone. You know, I walked into church tonight and I looked around the church and there was about half a dozen people just sitting in there. And guess what they were all doing? That. With that. An iPhone I have. Some people have got who's got a BlackBerry? That's old, isn't it? Well, I get them off a tree out the back, but what about HTC? What's that? Google phone? Look, who's got a smartphone? Hands up, be honest. iPhones, keep your hands up. Righto, something else? Android. Well, what type of Android? Who makes it? Huh? Samsung, okay. Samsung, who's got a Samsung? That's most of the population have got a Samsung, that's right. Anyone got something else? LG? What's that? What is that? Do they still make them? Wow. It's got buttons on it. Do you have to push them? Wow. So think about it. A wireless, handheld, electronic miracle that connects us to the world. For me, and I'm no different to you guys, whatever I want to do is now at my fingertips. I can look at maps. I can look at movie times. I used to have to go to the newspaper for that, but now I can find it on there. I can look at movie trailers. I did that the other night. Chris and I went to a movie and I watched a trailer to see if it was going to be okay for her. Well, you know, we wouldn't want her to go and see a chick flick, would we? Calendars, contacts, emails, games, movies, past TV shows, news, shopping, sharing gossip. That's Facebook. The ability to search on any item you wish for. And if that's not enough, guess what? You can even talk to people on them. There are some people in this room who now unconsciously would find it very hard to operate on a day-to-day basis without their device. Now, I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but how many people would find it hard to operate their daily lives without their device? Wait on, I just want to count to see what percentage that is. Now, this is a... I should have used my smart device. This is a little bit of a survey I did, or got from from Google this morning, and unfortunately it was 2014, but it even helps me in that. 47% of adults couldn't last a day without a smartphone, the survey says. So back in 2014, 2017 now, imagine what the difference would be. A day without a cell phone is like a day without sunshine. It may be worse than that, according to a consumer survey released on Monday. Nearly half of the US adults, unfortunately we don't have Australian surveys, 47% of them said they wouldn't last a full 24 hours without their smartphone. Smartphones fall below only the internet and hygiene when ranked by level of importance to a daily person's life, according to the survey. 91% said their phone is more important than their car or deodorant. Perhaps more concerning is that most millennials... Now, who's that? Who's a millennial? I don't know that. I know that I'm baby boomer or one of those back there. So can somebody Google what a millennial is, please? Okay, 2000 what? 2000 on. Kids.
Not here.
Not here. They should be home in bed now, shouldn't they? Perhaps more concerning is that most millennials deem mobile phones more important than deodorant and a toothbrush. So what happens when you forget your beloved digital companion? USA Today Network reported last month that 3 in 10 people would go back home no matter what the distance if they forgot their mobile device. And Cass Hunt hasn't got her phone with her today, and she didn't go home to get it when she knew. Well done, Cass. It's unfortunate that we don't think the same about the power and the benefits that come from the indwelling Holy Spirit that lives within us. The Holy Spirit is not a device. The Holy Spirit is a person, a presence, a voice that connects us with God. And one of the greatest benefits of our salvation is the privilege of being filled and being led by the Spirit of God. One of the greatest needs we all have is needing the wisdom of God to make the right decisions. And I know that's true because I speak to so many people each year who are inquiring about their future. What should they do? How should they do it? And one of the things that I probably share more than anything else apart from budgets with people is knowing the will of God or how to know the will of God. As I said a minute ago, we don't need a device. God has already provided this for us. All we need to do is allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit of God. And Proverbs 4:11-12 says, I guide you in the way of wisdom. I lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Wisdom is making decisions today based on knowing what will happen tomorrow. Now, how is that possible? How can we make decisions today based on knowing what will happen tomorrow? Believe it or not, that's possible. It's possible because the Spirit of God knows the future. And the Spirit of God wants to let us know the decisions that we need to make for the future and the course that we're headed into. John 16:13 says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not only speak of His own, He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. Isn't that an incredible scripture? The Holy Spirit will guide you, and He will tell you what is yet to come. You know, we don't need to be in the dark concerning our future. We don't need to read horoscopes. We don't need to consult mediums. We don't need to do the things that the world does, because we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will guide us based on what is yet to come. Think about that. The Holy Spirit will guide us based on what is to come. See, God knows our future. God knows the plans and the purpose He has for us. And the Holy Spirit is being given to us to lead us and to guide us. If we would let him lead us, then we will be being led for the future that God has planned for us. Romans 8:14, I don't think is a new concept to most of us in this room. And therefore, I think most of us in this room would agree that we should be being led by the Holy Spirit. However, too often, we are the ones leading instead of letting the Holy Spirit lead. We think that our individual feelings, we think that our urges, our desires are the things that the Spirit has led us to. And I think probably the biggest ignorance for this is because we don't teach it enough. We don't challenge people enough to be led by the Spirit. How to discern what the difference is between feelings, between desires, and what God has got. So tonight I really want to just quickly give you some quick tips on how you know the Spirit of God is leading you. So the first one is, how does the Spirit lead us? The Holy Spirit will never lead us to do something that contradicts the Word of God. Think about that first of all. The Holy Spirit will not lead us to do anything that contradicts the written Word of God. No matter what wisdom we think we may have, regardless of the advice we get, regardless of the advice we get from anybody, no matter what peace we feel, and again remembering that peace comes from God, but Satan does have a peace of his own if it aligns with his will and purpose. No matter what we might sense in prayer, if it's contrary to the Word of God, then it is wrong and it is not God's will. God will not ask you to do something that contradicts his word, that goes against what his word says. So when Jesus promised the apostles he would send the Spirit to them, he said in John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thy word is truth. So we know that the word of God is truth, and we know the Spirit of God is going to guide us in that truth. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to guide us into a deeper understanding of God's word, God's purpose, and God's will. And in 1 Corinthians 2, 9-11, it says this, and that is what Scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thought except the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to us as we prayerfully and openly and thoughtfully read God's word. In Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So often, we're looking for the future. We're looking for right out there. But this scripture clearly shows that God is going to show us where our feet should go and the path that we should stay on. It's the Spirit and God that knows where we're going. We don't have to worry about that. We just have to stay focused on the steps that God wants us to take. We are led by the Spirit when we prayerfully read God's word and when we allow God's word to influence our minds and our actions. Let me say that again. We are led by the Spirit when we prayerfully read God's word and we allow God's word to influence our minds and our actions. So the Spirit of God will lead us in God's word, and whatever the Spirit leads us in will never contradict the word. The second thing that we know about how the Spirit leads us is that the Holy Spirit will never lead us in anything that is contrary to his nature. So much in this stuff, I want you to meditate on. I want you to think about it because it's so important. If we would know and if we would stay clean in these things, then we would not fall off the path. We would not be diverted, knowing that we do have an enemy who's out there to do that. You know that God can never tell a lie because he's truth. God can never go back on his word because he's faithful. God can never sin because he's holy. And God can never go against his nature because he is immutable. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord and I do not change." 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." If we go into Galatians 5, verses 19 to 23, clearly tell us the difference between the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. He will not lead us to do anything that does not bring his fruit out. We should always be asking ourselves the question, if I do this, what does the fruit look like? What's it going to look like in a year's time, 2 years' time, 10 years' time? The scripture is such a clear scripture. It says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. They're the fruits of the flesh. They're the fruits of not following the Spirit, not living in the Spirit, not allowing the Spirit of God to lead. But then it says in verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. I have spoken many, many times on peace. I'm not going to open it up today because it would take another sermon, but I do want the passages I'm going to share with you now to be on the podcast, and I do want them to be in the notes because peace is such an incredible thing. I will lead you in your peace, the Bible says. In Isaiah 26:3, God will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is trusted in you, whose mind is fixed on you. In Colossians 3, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion, but peace unto the saints. If you don't have peace, then your mind is not fixed on God. And if your mind is not fixed on God, then of course you're going to wander. As I've said many times when I've talked on this subject, if we're driving our cars and we get lost, we don't keep driving. We stop and we go back to where we weren't lost. It's the same in God. If we lose our peace, stop. Go back to where you had your peace and find out what decision or what thought you had, what you've allowed into your life that's robbed you of that peace, and deal with it and then get back in. Peace is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So what are the prerequisites we must have to be led by the Holy Spirit? Because there are prerequisites. The first one, we must have a relationship with God. In short, you have to be a Christian to be led by the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we may not always be conscious of the Holy Spirit's presence, but the truth is, we can't be a Christian without having the Holy Spirit in our lives. I love that thought. The minute we become a Christian is the minute that the Spirit becomes alive with the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 verse 9 says this, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature, you are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And then it says, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. So if you're a Christian in this building tonight, then you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And therefore, you can be led by the Holy Spirit. One of our Christian birthrights is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's what Jesus promised when he was returning to his Father. And I think that having the Holy Spirit in us and using all the power of the Holy Spirit is one of the things that Jesus intended that we should do, that we might be able to do the works and even greater works than he said, than he did. Second thing is we must be available. You know, sometimes we are so busy. We are so full of life that we don't make ourselves available to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. I remember back in 1975 in Bible college when I was a brand new Christian and I heard Pastor Oxy sharing on this. I didn't understand anything about the Holy Spirit. I came from a Methodist church and the Holy Spirit was never talked about. And one day in college, I can still remember it to this day, where he said, "The Holy Spirit is a gentleman and he'll never force you to do anything." And I love that thought. We all have our own will, our own purpose, and God is never going to force himself upon us. And so the Holy Spirit, even though he lives within us, is not going to force you to do anything. He's not going to interrupt you. He might quicken you, he might check you, he might take away your peace, but unless you obey him, unless you allow him to lead you, then he's not going to force you. Sometimes circumstances and situations, sometimes closed doors, sometimes a brick wall might be there. But I've seen people knock down brick walls to do their own will. So we must be available. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19 it says, "Do not quench the Spirit." We could paraphrase that and we could say, stop putting out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Or I could say, stop hindering, stop suppressing or limiting the Holy Spirit. For when you do that, you are preventing God. You are preventing the Holy Spirit from exerting his influence in your life. In Ephesians 5:18 it says, "Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." In fact, if you break that scripture down, it says, "Be filled and be continually filled." So it's an ongoing, continual thing that needs to happen. And when we think of the word filled, often we think of a glass being filled. But the word filled is the same word that is used to explain wind filling sails of a ship. As the wind fills the sails of a ship, and I know, Mike, that you're a sailor and you'd know exactly what I'm talking about. You've got to find the wind. You've got to place the ship in the position of the wind. But as soon as you do that, the sails fill up and that gives you the thrust to move forward. And if we're not allowing and positioning ourselves for our sails to be filled, then we're going to find ourselves dead in water. The writer of Pilgrim's Progress, a guy called John Bunyan, said, "Seamen cannot create the wind, but they can hoist their sails to welcome it. We as Christians cannot create the breath of the Spirit, but are we to miss it when we come through failure to keep our sails unfurled?" In short, we might not be able to create the wind, but we need to position ourselves and keep our sails unfurled that we might catch the wind. I love the Sydney to Hobart race, and I often listen to the tacticians talking and the navigators, and they say often that they put someone up the top of the mast who's looking out as far as they possibly can to see the ripples on the waves, because that's where they know the wind is and that's where they'll be going. And often others will go off another way because that's where the currents are, but they're looking for where the wind is. We need to be looking and allowing the wind of the Holy Spirit to guide us. We need to be seeing what God is doing. So being filled with the Spirit doesn't mean we have more of the Spirit. It just means that the Spirit has more of us. Think about that. Doesn't mean we have more of the Spirit. It means that the Spirit has more of us. We are available. More of our heart, more of our will surrendered to his will. And so, to be filled with the Spirit and to be available, we must be continually removing anything and everything from our lives that keeps us unavailable. And you need to discern that for yourselves. I can't look at you and say you shouldn't be doing that, because you might be allowed to do that. But there are things in my life that I can't do, because that's what God is checking me for. And that's part of being led by the Spirit. And that's part of the last point, point C, or the second last point. We must be obedient. When we make ourselves available, when we listen, then I guarantee you, and I do, I guarantee you, God will speak. That's to me a given. Just try it. Tomorrow morning, just get up a little bit earlier and just sit in your lounge room or sit somewhere and say, "God, this morning, I want to listen to your voice." I guarantee you that God will impress you with something. Invite him in. Invite him to Take control of your life. We'll do that at the end. We need to be prepared to do something with what he says. Doesn't matter if we like what he said or not. That's not the point, because God knows the future and he's leading us in the future. What matters is if we're going to obey or not. Remember, obedience brings forth blessing. Luke 6:46 says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And then finally, the last thing in regard to being led by the Spirit, and I think this is such an important one, we must test the spirits. Sounds strange, doesn't it? But there are a lot of spirits out there and a lot of voices. To be led by the Holy Spirit is one of the greatest privileges of being a Christian. We must make sure that we're hearing his voice correctly. And I'm saying his voice. As we grow in spiritual maturity, we develop the ability to discern, to test the voices that are competing for our attention. To discern whether it's the devil or whether it's our own fleshy desires. We know from 1 Peter 5 that we have an enemy. The Bible says that he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And that word devour means to whittle away slowly. We know that the Bible says that the God of this world blinds the eyes of those, puts a veil upon our eyes that we might not see the light of the glorious gospel. So we know that maybe Satan can't stop us from having eternal life, but he can certainly rob us from enjoying life to the full if he can. We would not see this scripture in 1 John 4:1-3 if we weren't to test the spirits. It says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. And so, test the spirits and again look at the fruit of what is being led. Three ways that you can put the things that you're feeling to the test. And it's a repeat of what I said at the start. The voice of the Holy Spirit will always be consistent with the Word of God. The voice of the Holy Spirit will always be consistent with His fruit. And the voice of the Holy Spirit will always be consistent with the character of Jesus. Jesus' character is love, humility, meekness, service, obedience, submission, forgiveness. And as I've always said, when in doubt, chuck it out. If you can't test and you can't know for sure that you have a 100% stamp of approval, then don't do it. Don't do it. So in conclusion tonight, if we're going to chase after God, we have to be Romans 8:14 people. And we do this by cultivating lives that are constantly aware and sensitive to the leading of God's Holy Spirit. So I have a question for you, or two really. One, what is God saying to you? Do you know his voice? And two, how is he leading you? Are you being led into things that don't consist or come in line with the Word of God or His fruit or His Spirit? Hebrews 3 says, that is why the Holy Spirit says, "Today when you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness." I know the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And I know what it's like to be led by the Spirit. I also know, as a young Christian, what it's like to stand against the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I know what that feels like. It never works out well. I also know what it is to be led and to be obedient and to walk in the ways of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, simple invitation. I'm not going to ask you to come out the front. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up, because really I would think that everyone in this room would do that. All I'm going to do is ask you to say your own prayer, to invite the Holy Spirit to take control of your life. Recently, Chris and I were praying for somebody, and we were praying around this area in this person's life. And we were led very clearly to have this person say a prayer after us. The prayer went like this: Holy Spirit, I ask you to take control of my life. My spirit, my soul, and my flesh. And then we felt led to open up the soul. So we opened up the soul and we said, Holy Spirit, I ask you to take control of my mind, my will, and my emotions. And then God led us to take one more step. And it was like pulling teeth to get this person to say it, because God was showing us, he was needling us as we were praying for this person, that Satan doesn't mind if we ask that, because there's places where he hides, where he can counterfeit. And so we ended up, when we were talking about the soul, it was not only the mind, the will, and the emotions, but it was the very essence of my life, the identity. And we have known and watched people many times. They don't mind. Satan doesn't mind the Holy Spirit in our lives, as long as he can control something. And today, there's some people here, and I know it's true, that you've yielded your life to God. No doubt about that. You're Christians. But God wants you to yield everything, every aspect of your life. Your spirit, that's your human spirit, your mind, your will, your emotions, your flesh, but also your identity and your personality and the things that make you you. Because sometimes we don't mind handing over to God, but God, I just want to keep this little bit. And so tonight, if there's any area of your life that you would struggle in saying, Holy Spirit, I give you control, then that's the area that God wants you to give control of. For every one of us, it might be different. Some it might be our intellect. Some it might be our finances. Some it might be our material things. Some it might be our identity. Some it might be our mind. I don't know. So why don't you close your eyes and let me pray for you. Father, I thank you that your Son, before he left for heaven, promised that he was going to send what we called the promise of the Father, which we now know is the Holy Spirit. Lord God, your word says that the Holy Spirit coming into us was a down payment or a taste of the power of the age to come. Lord God, we know how powerful the Holy Spirit is. We know that, as Mike said this morning, that we're heirs of the Father. We've been given everything. Every spiritual blessing, Ephesians says, the minute we become saved. Yet we also know that we've got to walk and claim that inheritance. And Father, tonight as we talk about being led by the Spirit, I just know that there's people tonight that need to not only invite the Holy Spirit to take control and to lead them, they need to make themselves available, they need to be obedient, they need to test the voices in the spirits that they've been listening to. But Lord God, more than that, they need you to allow you to go deeper into their lives, into those locked doors, into those rooms that have never been opened up. Father, I know, as I've prayed for many, that there's often reasons for that: fear, lack of trust and confidence. Lord God, past hurts and wounds. But God, I know that you are a God of love and that you are a God who not only restores and heals, but you want us to have life and life to the full, and that your Spirit will not lead us into anything that is not going to do that. And so I pray today that as we chase after you, that we would give you, Holy Spirit, access to every part of our being, that you might be able to lead us into the fullness of life. Lord, there's ones in this room tonight that are robbed. And Father, we know that you're not the robber. And so I stand against the veil that has been upon people's eyes. And Lord, I pray that there would be a clarity and a freshness as they walk out of this room and as they say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Lord, I pray this tonight in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.